Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. We're 5 hours away from NBC launching a musical showcase unlike any in American television history. One new song from all 50 United States and several territories will be performed live, and viewers will vote for the winner of American Song Contest. Executive producers Anders Lenhoff and Krista Bjorkman join me next in an internet radio exclusive. Up north, Tall Boys is the latest example of unique sketch comedy from Canada. Views brings Tall Boys to U.S. citizens for the first time Wednesday. We'll hear from executive producer-director Bruce McCullough and co-creator and star Ghulen Abdi next half hour. Also ahead, Plinko is headed your way and our new classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, the iRadio Podcast Network, Verbal, and Reason. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to the good stuff whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 60 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and we welcome you on this Monday afternoon to the program all about TV's current and future. First of a triple header coming your way this week, today, Wednesday, and Friday at this very hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and call in. We have great guests in the next hour, and we invite you to make it happen with them. What you got to do is use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. We also have a chat room business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. To use the phone or the room, either way, we get you involved. While the program is on the air, you can also connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Let's be live with you. Our dynamic duo from NBC's American Song Contest, premiering tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, will join us live from L.A. after these news notes. More than midway through its 50th season, The Price is Right will begin a nationwide Come On Down tour this Friday. Fans of the long-running CBS Daytime Game Hour in 50 cities, starting with home-based Los Angeles and the Santa Monica Pier, can play pricing games and showcase showdowns for cash and prizes. Upcoming stops include Denver, Nashville, and Cleveland, home of current Price is Right host Drew Carey. The New York tour stop will take place May 16th when CBS parent Paramount holds its annual fall season preview event for advertisers and TV trade press. We understand that the Santa Monica stop this Friday, Carey will be joined by Price is Right announcer George Gray and one of the Price is Right models. Former Glow star Betty Gilpin will play the title role of Peacock's new drama series, Mrs. Davis. The series, put together by Tara Hernandez and Damon Lindelof, is a study of faith and technology with multiple Emmy nominee Gilpin as a nun facing off with forces of artificial intelligence. Peacock expects to premiere Mrs. Davis this fall or first half 2023. Now a trio of quickies. Award-winning novel A Fine Balance is on track to become a 7-episode HBO series. Then was anticipated to begin late spring in India. Oxygen will offer the Fatal Attraction murder documentary this weekend. Part 1 will run Saturday night, Part 2 on Sunday night. And up next for Apple TV Plus's family animation lineup, Pinecone and Pony, April 8th. DreamWorks Animation co-produced 8 episodes with First Generation Films. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles in the same day, internet radio exclusive, two of the executive producers of American Song Contest, co-hosted by Kelly Clarkson and Snoop Dogg, remaining tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on your local NBC station. We have with us Anders Lenhoff and Crystal Bjorkman. Anders, Crystal, welcome to our program.
Hi, how are you?
Very, very fine, thank you. And Anders, we'll start with you. What's the anticipation like less than 5 hours away from getting this contest launched?
Oh, I mean, it's so exciting. This is a dream come true. We've been working with this show trying to make this show happen for 4 years. That's the American version. And Krista's been living this dream since childhood.
Yeah, oh my God. But it's also nerve-wracking, you know. It's a new thing. The audience doesn't know what to expect. But we're totally thrilled.
Mm-hmm. Crystal, this comes out of a event that has become a spectacular throughout Europe, the Eurovision Festival. It's been running now for over 60 years. 200 million people watch it every year. What makes Eurovision work? And when did you decide, along with other people, let's try to take it to television here in the United States?
What makes it work is actually the diversity of it, that it is, first of all, it's on a very high, spectacular standard. I mean, it's really, really highly professional as a production. But also the cultural differences make it so exciting because you never know what to expect from, you know, your neighbor country. And it's really a lot of fun. And we can adjust to that for the American market because you have so much variety and diversity within your state. So you can translate it to here. And it's just amazing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think that one of the things that really makes this show fly and has done for 65 years in Europe is that it's not just about musical talent, right? It's about rooting for your state. And as an artist, it's about, I am proud to represent my own, in Europe, that would be representing my country, and here it would be representing my state or territory. And that's different. And that I think that's given us another level of artistry.
Yeah, and it's also original music. So this is a hit machine. You know, if we can get all the good songs in there, it's going to promote new music, and that will become a part of the American songbook. So this could be really exciting.
And Anders, it seems to be a kind of a program that you can do any kind of musical number to it. If you want to do like a ballad number with like solo guitar, solo piano music, you can. If you want to do a number with backup dancers and special effects, you can. Looking at the promos for this, it seems that we're going to be seeing, starting tonight, a wide variety of not only musical styles, but also musical performances.
Oh, I mean, there's such diversity. I mean, I think it's so good, but it's so good in so many different ways. I mean, some of the acts are truly spectacular. Some of them are a lot more, I think all of them are quite spectacular, but they are so in very different ways. And you get ballads, you get rock band, you get K-pop.
That's the whole idea, you know, to get every possible genre into the show. And the more diverse it is, the better it is for the show. And we actually create the expression, or you know, the lighting and the camera work. It's all helping the song to just pop out and make, you know, we follow the genre of the music to create a specific energy for each song.
And Crystal, this is also a show where it is totally live. There's no second take. There's no retake. It sort of harkens back, in a will, to like the great days of variety television, the 50s and 60s, the Ed Sullivan shows and the Colgate Comedy Hours and so forth, where it was all live. It was you never knew what was going to happen. And so there's great diversity not only in the songs and the way they're produced, but also the fact that it is it's live and you're seeing it as it happens.
Yeah, and that's it. You have to be a true professional to enter this show because you have your 245. That's it. It's one take, and you've got everything to win, but you also have everything to lose. You just have to be there in that moment.
American Song Contest, co-hosted by Kelly Clarkson, Snoop Dogg, and premieres tonight live on your local NBC station, 8 p.m. Eastern, and it's also, I believe, 8 p.m. Pacific time as well. We're speaking with two of the key executive producers of the program, Anders Lenhoff and Krister Bjorkman. They're joining us live from Los Angeles, where the show is being produced and presented live tonight. They're with us live this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and the same day, Internet Radio exclusive. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us, kicking off the week with us, the program all about TV's current and future. And if you have a question or comment for our dynamic duo, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We've got two more big episodes for you this week. Coming up on our special Wednesday episode, what's going on with the Africa Channel? As it turns out, quite a lot. More people are able to watch it on cable and satellite, and also, among other things, they're working on a project co-produced with Amazon and Legendary Television. Chief Operating Officer Narendra Reddy will tell us all about it. He's our lead guest Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And coming your way on Friday, we'll have the creator and showrunner of the new series premiering next month on Spectrum Originals Video On Demand, then later on BET, Long Slow Exhale. It's a interesting saga set in the world of women's basketball, and the creator and showrunner Pam Vasey will be with us. Also, Netflix on Friday is launching its latest Transformer tune, and this is one for comedy more than action. It's called Transformers Bot Box. Prolific producers and writers of tunes Kevin Burke and Chris Wyatt will join us. It's all coming up later this week, Wednesday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Anders, what did it take to get this series on NBC? What was, you say, the breakthrough in terms of finally making this program available for U.S. TV?
I think we found the perfect partners. We partnered with Dan Silverman and Propagate Productions, and we found Audrey Morrissey, our showrunner. And I think those are the two key elements to making this happen. We're thrilled to be with NBC. That was our first choice, actually. It feels like a natural home for this kind of show. It's got the same vibe as we used to from Europe, I think, when it comes to musical talent.
Mm-hmm. And we should point out that Audrey does a little thing called The Voice, which has been around for a while on NBC. And we've had her on the show, by the way, before. So we wish her the very best, along with both of you, in this work. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's also created Songland, which is also in the same territory with original music. So she knows her stuff.
Yeah. Krister, give us a sense of the road that these composers and the performers had to take to be on this program. Because in addition to having an original song, each original song also has to have a singer, performer from that state or that territory performing it.
Yeah. So it's been a long process, and it's been very thorough. And it started out with the reach out, obviously, to the whole industry, the music industry, and everything from publishers to record labels and so on. But in a practical matter, it was a submission site where a big team, actually the same team that does casting. Yeah, the casting process for The Voice. And they made the original shortlist of like 5 to 10 per state. So each artist had to say which state they could represent and where they had their heart. And after that, it was an academy of music industry professionals, radio programmers, A&Rs, and so on. And they then gave their opinion on each and every one of these songs. And in the end, it was a group of people from NBC and from the production who made the final choice. So it was a very long process and very thorough, and it felt like the very best has been chosen.
So, Anders, how does the competition work? I believe there's like 11 songs that will be presented on each week of the program, and then how are they judged, and how do the viewers get the chance to weigh their thoughts in?
Okay, so we have 50 states competing, and we have 5 territories, and we have Washington, D.C., so that's a total of 56 songs. There are 5 qualifier episodes, and the first one is on tonight with 11 songs in it. There's a jury, so at the end of each night, the jury vote winner, the jury's favorite, move on to the semifinal. Then another 3 songs move on with a combination of jury points and the public vote, meaning there are 4 songs in total that move on to the semifinals from each, that move on to the semifinals from each qualifier. And then you have episode 6 and 7, which are the semifinals with 10 songs, with 11 songs in each. And then you have the grand final with 10 songs. I'm sorry that's complicated, but it's 8 episodes, 5 qualifier shows, 2 semis, and a grand final.
It's a lot easier to have it on paper, actually, than to say it.
And Crystal, what awaits the winner? What will the winning song and the winning composer receive if they are voted the best song?
Well, first of all, the honor. I mean, that basically, this is a competition. It's for professional. It's not about getting a record contract or being signed by a label. Actually, all the artists, all the songs that are in this show will be released. We have a deal with the record label, and some of them already have deals with other record labels. So it's about the honor. I mean, this show has been on in Europe for 65 years, and it launched huge stars like actually Celine Dion and ABBA. But and you get the trophy, and it's like that trophy. If you got that, then by darn, you go. You won the Eurovision Song Contest one, and that's what we think this. We think that that's what this will be in the U.S. too.
And we should point out that Atlantic Records is going to be releasing each week those songs the following day or 2 days afterward in some sort of way that viewers can or listeners can take a shot at it.
Yeah. So every song will be released in the same manner, which is really good.
Mm-hmm. For both of you, what's it been like to have such diverse talents as Kelly Clarkson and Snoop Dogg get together to co-host? What's it been like for them to get together and for the first time and sort of blend their own ways of hosting? We know what Kelly can do because of her daily syndicated talk show through NBC Universal, but we also know that Snoop Dogg has done some hosting. He did the Joker's Wild Game Show host for the revival for 3 seasons on TBS, which I thought was terrific. And now they're being put together. What's it been like to sort of blend their own personalities together?
It's been really, really a lot of fun. And it so happens to be that they actually have worked together once before in The Voice when Snoop was visiting The Voice. So they did have one experience together, and they liked each other instantly. So their chemistry was right there from the beginning, and they have a lot of fun on set. So we feel extremely confident, and we think that that's going to travel to all the viewers as well. So it feels really good.
Mm-hmm. And, Krister, what about the performers of each song? Who did the composer pick the performer, or did a Michael Bohm, for example, is going to be singing the song from Connecticut, or a Jules going to sing the song from Alaska? How do they get to the opportunity to perform the song?
Well, first of all, the song was submitted together in most cases together with the artist, so it all came as a package. But when that was decided, we have had 3 teams of creators and act producers, so to say, and they have been working together with the artist, trying to get as close to the vision of the artist as possible. And then we've rehearsed it several times, and we have been in something that we call the viewing room, where we go after the rehearsal, we sit down with the artist. We go through every angle, we listen to the sound, and we do changes and tweaks, and it's a very fun process. But the artists are in every detail involved in what they do on stage, so it's a really nice process for them as well.
And we should point out, too, that it's not just individual performers. In some cases, they're bands, they're duos, they're groups. And sometimes you might be surprised at who is doing the performing. For example, the pop star Macy Gray is representing her state of Ohio. If you've seen the spots on NBC, there's this woman, Alexa, from Oklahoma, who you might think, that person may not be from Oklahoma, but yes, she is, and looking forward to seeing how she performs. There's a lot of very interesting – the diversity of song and the diversity of performers doing the songs is for a first time out, really remarkable.
Yeah, I really loved it that you mentioned Alexa, for example, because she's like all Oklahoma on one hand, and she's something totally different on the other hand. But I've seen her cheerleader photos, and she's truly Oklahoma as well.
And I totally agree with that. I mean, I think that this show there's so much fun doing it or being involved in it, because you get a performance. I hope you look tonight, but I mean, Alexa's performance is amazing, but so are the others, but in so many very different ways.
Yeah.
It's like you have a country ballad, you have K-pop, you have a rock band. It's like nothing else, really.
Yeah. And I actually love I produce a lot of these shows in Europe, and the more variety you can get into that and diversity, the better the show gets, you know, and you just love the twists and turns of this show. It's amazing. It's a lot of fun.
We're speaking with two key executive producers from NBC's new live musical presentation, American Song Festival, which premieres at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on your local NBC station, also being presented the next day on Peacock, available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and in some markets, your local cable system. We've got Anders Lenhoff and Christer Bjorkman with us, live from Los Angeles, where the show is being produced live for you. Simon Avon with you from the other side of the country. That's New York, 60 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with our executive producers, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And 1 week from today on Tomorrow Be Televised, from the new CBS Boeing sitcom, How We Roll, executive producer Mark Gross will be our lead guest. That's next Monday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. So for both of you, last Friday, we had the executive producers of the ABC special was on last night, Step Into the Movies, with Derek and Julianne Hough, Nick Flores and RJ Durrell. What we didn't know is that they were not only executive producers of a show that had to be put together in 2 weeks for airtime, but also they were directed as well. And it was very interesting to see their work last night. In terms of what you've done, how have you worked with whoever's directing your show to make it the best possible?
We've actually brought a Swedish camera director from Sweden that we've worked with before, because we want to find, he's working together with an American director as well, but we want to give this a slightly different look, and the way that specifically the acts are produced or directed. As Krista mentioned, we take this very, very seriously. I mean, this show is all about the performances. It's not as much about the story or the artist. It's about professionals coming on to a really spectacular stage and do their thing as good as we could possibly make it. So it's a lot about the interaction between the artist and the production and the camera direction. So really get everything, get optimize every single part of the process. And we think that there's a way that we and Krista have been involved the process over several years in Europe, so we wanted to implement that here too.
What have rehearsals been like doing this compared to what it's been like for you doing Eurovision?
Well, we've tried to copy-paste, really, the procedure of the Eurovision, and it's been interesting because this is something that is the production team here is not used to. And because we involve the artist quite a lot, we want them to be part of the creation of this, and also the mental journey of, you know, realizing that everything is going to look the same like every time. You know, they will know where the cameras are. They will know which camera takes which shot. So it's very technical, and we try to make it almost like a music video. That's the simplest way to explain it. So we try to get the artist to understand that don't look at the audience. It's not a concert. It's not a gig. So the only audience you have is the one sitting behind the camera. That is sort of the message that we try to send to them. So it is different. It will look different than what the viewers are used to hear. I have a feeling that's going to come through.
Yeah. Did I read correctly that TikTok is going to play a role in the voting process, that if viewers wanted to use TikTok to register the vote, they could?
Yeah. So there are three ways to vote. One is NBC.com, one is the NBC app, and the third one is TikTok. So if you go on TikTok and you search for American Song Contest, you'll reach an area where you can actually vote, and you can vote up to 10 times for each song on each platform. So you could vote for all the songs 10 times each on TikTok should you want to. I mean, this is about finding favorites, and you want to be able to sort of, okay, this is really my favorite. I'll give them 10 votes. But this one's pretty good too. So they'll have 6 or 7 or 5.
Yeah, but because, I mean, there are 4 songs going through, so you should at least have 4 favorites,
yeah,
you know, to influence the result.
And how much time will viewers have a chance after the program to vote?
Oh, I should know this by heart. I want to say about 32 hours, something. I mean, have a look. Please don't quote me on that, hold me to it, but have a look tonight. But it's overnight and some more.
For both of you, before we go, what's it been like to have this realized finally, to have something that has been such a very popular attraction overseas and has launched, as you said, the career of many, many stars, both performers and song composers, to finally have this breakthrough in the United States where U.S. composers, where U.S. performers have a chance to strut their stuff and achieve the kind of success that has been done on shows like American Idol, like The Voice, but do it in a way where it's their work that's getting the shot.
I'm going to let Chris answer that. I realize I want to add something to the voting process, which is that one of the reasons there's a long voting window is that we count votes per state or per territory, and they each carry equal weight. And I think that's worth mentioning because that's unique. So it's really important that everybody in all the states and territories in all the time zones get a thorough chance to vote and give their say to the show, because that's what this is about. Everybody should have a chance to be involved, and everybody should be able to influence the result, whether you live in California or Samoa or U.S. Virgin Islands. Doesn't matter. You are in control, and you're representing your state when you vote. Mm-hmm. And now I'll leave this for Chris to tell.
And what was the question?
How does it feel to finally see this happen?
Oh, okay. You know what? It depends on where the starting point is. But for me, who has lived and been breathing this competition since I was a kid, I never even thought of it, you know, reaching another market. I dreamed of being an artist in it, which happened, and I dreamed of producing it, which happened. And now to actually show it to another continent, it's beyond a dream. It's fantastic. And I really, really sincerely hope that the American audience have an open mind and give it a shot and just try to lean back and enjoy it and just, you know, go with the flow and have fun.
American Song Festival, co-hosted by Kelly Clarkson, Snoop Dogg premieres tonight, live from Los Angeles, 8 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific on NBC. Check your local list for where NBC is available in your area in broadcast television. And if you miss the premiere live, you can catch it the next day on Peacock, which is available on smart TV sets, smart TV devices, and in some cases through your local cable system. For more details about the program online, go to NBC.com. That's NBC.com. American Song Festival premieres tonight on NBC. Andres Lenhoff, Crystal Bjorkman, thank you both very, very much for taking the time before the show premieres to be with us today. Congratulations to you and everybody involved for making this happen, and let's hope that what begins tonight will be the beginning of a very wonderful new role for American television.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome, both of you. Take care. Have a fantastic premiere and a great run. Andres Lenhoff and Crystal Bjorkman joining us live from American Song Festival's premiere in Los Angeles. More tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Harlan Coben, he's one of the most popular authors around. You see his work on all sorts of television platforms, including Netflix. Well, he's got a very interesting second book in his ongoing series of wild books about a very unusual free spirit and his adventures. It's called The Match, and you can get the audiobook of The Match, his latest novel, right here through Audible.com. And remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and very much inspiration. Over 250,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. All you have to do is sign up for a month trial at audibletrial.com/televised. And remember, with that trial, you get one free audiobook. You get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and while supply lasts, very important health and wellness information. If you're an Amazon Prime customer already, get this. You get two books for your trial of one, one of them being from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions, podcast series, off-Broadway, Broadway productions, and great one-woman and one-man performances. How about making today the day you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? All you got to do is listen to the good stuff, and it makes a great gift for you or somebody you love any time of the year. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, we're going live to Toronto, Canada, and you're going to hear about a show that's a very popular sketch comedy one on CBC. Wednesday night, it makes its U.S. premiere on Fuse. The show is called Tall Boys, and you will meet two of the key people involved, executive producer director Bruce McCullough and co-creator and star Guled Abdi. They're both with us live after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. Get the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you want a very unique musical program, check out the Hilltop Radio Show tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's the charge 24/7 at youtube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised Hour this Monday afternoon of March 2022. Simon Abbott with you live from New York, where it is 59 degrees at the bottom of the hour. We've got another dynamic duo coming your way in the half hour ahead, plus our classic trivia question and a little more, too. So if you have a question or comment for them, bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. One of the great hallmarks of Canadian television has been sketch comedy. Classics like Second City TV, This Hour Has 22 Minutes, and other one, and The Kids in the Hall, let's not forget that. Well, 3 years ago, another show joined that parade of sketch comedy titans called Tall Boys. It is now in its third season on CBC, running on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And starting Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, that series will make its U.S. debut on Fuse, which is available on cable and satellite. Joining us live from Toronto, Canada, are two of the key people involved in Tall Boys, executive producer and director Bruce McCullough, and one of the co-stars and co-creators of the series, Guled Abdi. Both of you, welcome to our program.
Woo!
Hey, thanks for having us. Hello.
It is a pleasure.
Love your energetic show.
And Glenn, we'll start with you. What's it been like to be part of a sketch comedy series and sort of carrying on this tradition of great Canadian shows like Kids in the Hall, like Second City TV, like This Hour Is 22 Minutes, which seem to do their thing very well with topical sketch comedy?
I think it's really cool. I truly try not to think about that legacy because then I think I would become way too in my head about the comedy I'm trying to do. Be like, it's not going to live up to that. Look at what they've accomplished, you know? So it's great to be part of that legacy. But I really try to focus on just what makes us special.
And Bruce, for you, what makes this show special?
Well, the guys themselves. I mean, there is something so wonderful about their chemistry, and they've got four cultural point of views, which is a bonus. But that's not why when I saw them, I loved them. They're super sweet, and they can be kind of mean and savage, and their stuff. They're fearless. So those would be all the things I would always look at if I was ever going to develop something with someone. And so when I saw them, it was just like this was like a no brainer for me.
Yeah. Glenn, how did you and your colleagues, Vince Banzo, Tim Blauer, and Franco Nugent, how did you all get together and form this troupe?
Well, Vince and Tim were part of the comedy program at Humber, and that's actually where Vince met Bruce, and their connection would they would reconnect years later when Vince was part of Bruce's show that he had in development. But Vince and Tim were friends, and they were both in the stand-up and improv world. And that's where they met Franco. And Franco was like, had heard that Vance and Tim were thinking of forming a troupe. And Franco was like, oh, I know Guled, who's also interested in being part of a troupe. Let's do improv together. And then we didn't end up doing improv. We actually just decided to do sketch comedy. And our first outing was truly at Toronto Sketch Fest. And that's where we met the producers, Accent Entertainment, that we currently work with, where one of the producers met us after one of our final show and said, you guys are really fun. Have you ever thought about doing a TV show? And I said, yes, even though in my heart I was scared. I was like, I don't know if that's the right answer. And then I never got the producer's name or phone number or any type of contact information. But luckily, they found us through Vance, who then was at that time in a room with Bruce.
Yeah. Well, I actually was teaching, and I saw Vance, and I thought, F, this guy's funny. And then somebody told me, well, he's got a troupe. It's like, what? And, you know, I've always wanted to, like, I always like to work with all the young comedians I can, bring them in rooms or work on different shows with them. And so the idea that I could do a sketch show this late in my career with these young people, when I saw the troupe, you know, they did two of their classic sketches that are in the first season, like back to back. One is super serious and funny and deals with race, and then the other one is super silly and like is ridiculous. So I just thought, oh my God, I want these guys to have the career that the kids in All Hall had, you know, or if they can, or whatever, or better, you know.
Mm-hmm. Bruce, what did you do in television before this, and how did your previous experience work to your advantage in starting Tall Boys?
Well, I've executive produced and directed a bunch of stuff. I worked at Saturday Night Live. I did, directed Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Schitt's Creek and a few other things. So I've always been developing and doing series. I had a show on ABC called Carpoolers for a while. I had a couple series up here in Canada. So it's kind of like it's the skill that you get after you've been on set for years and years. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to take, to be with a group who are just learning some of these skills and feel like you can add value to their skill set. So that's kind of that's one of the bonuses of doing this.
And was there anything you took out of the Saturday Night Live experience here in New York that you brought to Tall Boys?
Well, I mean, the great thing about, yes, and it's Lauren's thing that, it will be ready by 11:30 because it's going to be 11:30. I think to take the Tall Boys and make them have to come up with stuff by Friday or have to come up with stuff by Wednesday and to just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and as Gulad said, to keep them out of their heads and just keep moving, I think that was, you know, something ingrained for me from Lauren and Saturday Night Live for sure.
Glenn, it seems what Bruce just said, that there is a certain amount of discipline in terms of when you get sketches prepared, how you put them together, getting them before the camera, that's very, very critical to making your group's performance work.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, when we met Bruce, we used to write a lot of our sketches through improv, and that's a very long process to get a single sketch done because we're making it up on the spot. And just, we weren't even actually writing down a lot of the lines we were saying. We just write down funny lines and try to remember what we had said or record it on video. But when we met Bruce, he was like, I don't know if this process is going to be fast enough for TV, so we got to actually come in with punches.
Yeah. I wasn't even that nice to him. I said, no, that's over.
Yeah, no, he did. I'm sanitizing for radio.
Yeah,
he's like,
thanks.
Never that again.
Yeah.
But we have to,
thank
yeah.
Thank you
we,
for the
we
sanitation,
like,
folks. We are a family-friendly program.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Bruce was, like, was still kind about it. You know, was like we can't do that. We'll have to come in with more pictures because we need a, like, to get 8 episodes of sketches, we're writing double that, if not more, you know, double, triple that, just ideas just constantly going up. So we have to learn how to, like, be quick. And I think we stepped to the challenge. It was a bit of a learning curve and adjustment, painful at times because I would be, you know, scraping the bottom of the barrel, be like, are farts funny? What do we know about farts? You know, like, and how do we feel about it? And then sometimes we'd find a sketch that other times we wouldn't. Actually, there was one note we got, I think, in season 2 of just too much scat humor, and then tone it down a little bit.
Tall Boys, now in its third season on CBC on Tuesday nights. It begins its first season here in the U.S. of A. this Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Fuse, the cable network that usually presents not only great music, but also pop culture and multicultural culture as well. And we are speaking with the executive producer and director of Tall Boys, Bruce McCullough, and one of the co-creators and the stars of the group, that's Guyed Abdi. And they're both with us live from Toronto, Canada, super place to be, and a great TV production center, I might add also. This half hour on tomorrow will be televised. I'm with you down south from them in Nueva York, 59 degrees at the bottom of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guests, make the phone ring. We'd love to hear it. And you too, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. First of 3 episodes just joined us that we are doing this week. Today, Wednesday, Friday, at this very hour. And joining us as our lead guest on Wednesday's episode, the Chief Operating Officer of the Africa Channel, Narendra Reddy. They have a lot of very exciting things in the works, including a co-production series with Amazon. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more with the folks from the Africa Channel. Much more, too, Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Smart Be Televised. And coming your way on our show Friday, the creator and showrunner of the New Spectrum Originals women's basketball drama, Low, Slow, Exhale, Pam Vesey. That series will be carried later this year on BET. And from the new Netflix tune, Transformers BotBot. For the first time, the Transformers folks go for comedy as opposed for action. We will have the prolific tune producers and writers Kevin Burke and Chris Wyatt. All Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Bruce, how long did it take to put an episode of Tall Boys together?
Kind of like a month. You know, I mean, the thing about sketch comedy is it's the hardest thing in the world. First of all, as Lula says, you have to come up with a new idea every time. And then you have to get a different costume, a different set, different piece of music. So it's the most labor-intensive. And if you have people on the crew that have never done sketch comedy and they're working, their heads explode because there's so many things going on. So, yeah, I think it takes, you know, eight episodes probably takes us 8 months through the whole process. And, of course, the guys are also executive producers of the show, and they're in on all that. And they're, you know, they look at edits and do all that stuff, and they record their own music and do all that too. So it's pretty intensive for just eight little half hours of television.
Hmm. Glenn, what inspires you and the rest of your group to do the sketches you do? Do you look for things in the news? Do you look for trends? Do you look for, what people tell you up and down the street?
I mean, it's a combination of all those things. I read headlines, so it's hard for me to draw from the news because I only know as deep as what the headline told me. But we draw from our lives mostly. That's where a lot of ideas come from, or things that are in the zeitgeist that people are talking about, thinking about if it's, say, related to race or, you know, or whatever's really, you know, on the news that day. But it's majority is our lives. Like, one of our troop members, Franco, had a baby, and a lot of sketches were being inspired by that. And there was so many funny ideas that came out from that. And so we try to, like, be present with what's happening in our day-to-day lives, because that's where I feel like the freshest ideas come from, and feel like then I'm not like ripping off someone else's idea, because when things especially are in the zeitgeist, those can feel a bit harder to find a unique POV that SNL or another great sketch show hasn't done. But when you're drawing from your life, even if someone has a sketch close to that, I don't feel bad about those sketches, because I was trying to speak from my truth. And that's the best I can do.
Yeah, well, and that's really one of the great things I think about the show is we always go like, oh, could another show do that? And if it felt like, even if it was funny, but it could be on SNL or Kids in the Hall or any other show, we would shy away from it, because we would want to, we'd go, oh, yeah, that's a very tall boy sketch. And we all sort of knew what that meant without ever really discussing it. So I think
we never defined it.
I always love comedy with a really strong point of view, and this has that, and they were the worst at going like, ah, that's sort of similar to something, and I go, that's not similar at all, and I go, yeah, I think it is. So they would kill a lot of good ideas, but luckily they came up with so many that we were fine ultimately, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the first season that few viewers are going to see starting Wednesday, what were the topics or the sketches that got the most viewer reaction one way or another?
Oh, man. It's like you're asking me to remember two lifetimes ago, because COVID happened between the first season and now. It's still happening, I'm sure, in New York as well. What was a big sketch that really landed? Was it Tall
well,
McCullough?
I would,
was that a big one?
Yeah, I would say, like, they do a lot of really good music, different cultural, mostly rap sort of stuff. Those always hit really big, like Big in the Tall in the Club. There was a few of those. We did a scene about Drake in the first episode, the near Drake experience that everybody in Toronto seems to have. Was one when I walked down the street, people said, oh, yeah, I love that one. And the guys are really brave about their point of view of being a BIPOC. And some of the things that they've lived through or experienced, or making fun of that or turning that on its head. So I think that's some of the stuff people go, I can't believe they let you do that, which was great. CBC is a, you know, national broadcaster, and they let us, you know, do some pretty edgy stuff that I certainly wouldn't be able to do on ABC or something like that. So, it's got an impact, and I think that stuff really seemed to fly for people.
Yeah. For both of you, many a sketch show has the recurring character or characters that pop up every episode or almost every episode. You saw it with SNL. You see it. You saw it with The Living Color. You saw it with Second City Television. Obviously, this hour's 22 minutes takes place inside of a newscast format. What is the attitude about doing recurring characters? Does 12 Boys have its share of those, or did you pretty much at the beginning say, nope, we're not going to go that route. We're going to focus on pure sketch comedy where everything is different every episode, and we're not, you know, repeating characters or repeating ourselves.
That was, I felt when we first started, I think it was Bruce and other people in the room that pointed out to us that especially when we got our second season, we tend to a lot of times just like forget anything we had written before and just try to write a new idea. But Bruce and other people would remind us, like, you have great characters that we saw one time in a sketch that was maybe 2 minutes long. And if they're great, why not bring them back in and maybe expand on this story or find another scenario to put them in? So some of the characters we brought back, like people will see a character, Butcha C, who's partly inspired by the rapper Pusha T. Seeing those, like, that character come back now and like in the last two seasons has been very fun. But like, it's not something I think about a lot of times, that like we have this wealth of characters and worlds that we've built. I just always burn it and start new.
Well, I think because they're kind of comedy snobs in the best way. And I think, you know, I lived through The Liar at SNL, where every week there'd be a new Liar sketch. What's he going to lie about this week? And, you know, it got a little thin sometimes, I think. And I think even John would say that. So I think the guys really, I think their attitude was, if it's a character we've done before, it's really got to earn its way in, because we don't want it to be a weak version of the good one that we did last time. You know, the head crusher or whatever reoccurring character you're talking about.
And for everybody who may not have been part of that SNL era, we're talking about John Lovitz, who had the character who would go, yeah, that's the ticket, yeah. Who'd always like try to lie. Whatever the character was, he'd like, take that character, yeah. So what? Fun sketch.
My wife, Morgan Fairchild.
Good. Is are there any specific inspirations as a group? You know, do you get inspired by, you know, the people that did SNL, the people that did In Living Color, Monty Python, and that whole group that you know, did their own brand of unique comedy, surreal sketch, if you will, in England for a number of seasons?
Yeah, I mean, like I grew up watching a lot of those things and still do watch like SNL and Monty Python. Like I love, like, comedy doesn't age that well a lot of times, but there are troops like, you know, Kids in the Hall and also Monty Python, who, like, their humor is still so funny 30 years later, you know. I'm still laughing at these sketches that maybe even during the time was felt more timely. For us coming up, definitely SNL. Detroiters was a huge one for us, like the show on Comedy Central that had two seasons by Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson, who are both Second City alums out in Chicago or in Detroit. And so seeing those, like, those performers, people who I felt like, even though we're you know, different countries, coming up watching their rise, that was big inspiration for us. And also, like, seeing things like The Lonely Island, you know, and how they were able to, like, really, like, make digital shorts their own home, and, like, you were excited to see what Lonely Island came up with every week. Like, that, those people are, like, what we draw inspiration from.
We have two of the key people behind the long-running CBC sketch comedy series Tall Boys, which this Wednesday night makes its U.S. debut with the premiere of Season 1 on Fuse. We're talking with executive producer and director Bruce McCullough, whose previous credits include Saturday Night Live and The Kids in the Hall. And we have one of the key people of the comedy group Tall Boys themselves, co-creator and co-star Yed Abdi. They're both with us live from Toronto, Canada, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy you're aboard for the ride, too. Simon Abbon with you from New York. And if you have a question or comment or remaining minutes with our duo, give us that call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up shortly, our classic trivia segment will give you the answer to the question we posed the last 2 weeks. And we have a brand new question for you with now three prizes in play. Stay tuned. You could be our latest winner in a matter of minutes. We should point out that Season 2 is going to be running on Fuse this summer, and everyone will be caught up with Season 3, the current season, this fall. Bruce, what can people expect from future segments? Either, what has season three been like so far?
Season three is the craziest season. Season three, we have gigantic wheels going down the road and crushing people that we really brought up our game in terms of, I think, some of the video, not parody, but reference material. And everybody who works on it says it. You know, I thought season one was great, and then season two. So for us, we internally just, everybody even working on it just said, wow, it's way better. And it's, I would say it's crazier. Is that fair to say, Mr. Abdi?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. As Bruce had many conversations with us, sometimes we are too ambitious, not in a bad way, but like when we first got the show, I remember we wrote scenes where we wanted helicopters in there. We didn't get in the third season, but we got close to that with like really big set pieces for the wheels. I was a gigantic hamster in one of those scenes. So like seeing that type of stuff come to life was like really, really cool.
Yeah, and the third season was like oversized furniture. Yeah, a gigantic hamster wheel that Gulid runs on. You know, in a gigantic hamster cage. I mean, we really went for it. So, you know, I think it shows.
Sounds like a Land of the Giants third season.
Yes.
I too.
Where is Erin Allen now when you need him? Any word from CBC where they're going to get a fourth season yet?
We're hopeful. We're not sure, but we're hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fingers crossed. If everyone can listen right now,
I
can pray for us.
Earlier, This Hour has 22 minutes, which is a show that does something very rare, which is news satire, news and politics satire. Back in the 60s, that was the week that was. It was a musical review every week, live, dealing with, which sometimes was very controversial in terms of the subject matter about news and politics. Started in England, then for a year and a half was on NBC. Sort of Saturday Night Live, the Weekend Update is sort of the has some of that spirit, but it seems that This Hour has been able to make it work more than any thoughts about why that series has really been a long running one.
I think it's partially the fact that they're in the East Coast, and having worked in the East Coast, I did Trailer Park Boys for a while. There's a certain kind of sense of humor that comes out of that area of the country that loves politics, is always making fun of things, is always satirizing things. So I think there's something to do with all those people, and most of them are Nova Scotian, who are on that show that do that almost better than anyone in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like,
do you already have, do you and your gang have a topic you want to definitely tackle?
I think we're just at the tip of the fart jokes. I think we can get deeper into them. there's nothing on the top of my mind. Like, I mean, it really will be when we get there. What am I thinking of in the moment?
All righty. We wait and see that happens. In the meantime, if you're up in Canada, you can see the third season of Tall Boys right now on CBC. It's on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And for everybody here in the U.S. of A., you'll finally get a chance to see Tall Boys starting from the beginning of Season 1 this Wednesday night, March 23rd, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on Fuse. Check your local listing where Fuse is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the service online, go to fuse.tv. And again, Season 2 will be running on Fuse this summer. And then later this year, Season 3, you'll be catching up with everybody up in Canada. Again, thank you to Executive Producer and Director Bruce McCollum and co-creator and co-star Gulid Abdi. Thank you both very much for coming on. Congratulations on the run so far. Hopefully many, many more seasons to come. And we're delighted that your work is finally be showing starting on Wednesday night here in the U.S. of A.
Hey,
thank you for your
us.
Time. We're very excited, young man.
Yes, absolutely. And shout out to America. Excited for you guys to watch the show.
All right, and I hope they have a great, loud, and strong reaction. They definitely should. It looks like a terrific show. I have seen some clips, and it's a really, really dynamite show that all of you do. So all the greatest to all of you, and have a sensational week.
You
too.
Thank
you so much.
Thanks again, Simon.
You're very, very welcome. Take care. Our duo from Tall Boys on CBC and now on Fuse TV, Bruce McCullough and Gulid Abdi. Now time for our classic trivia segment. And unfortunately, we did not get a winner the last 2 weeks with our question. Let's give you the answer to that. What was Jeff Edwards' first game show? One person said Jackpot. Jackpot was close. It was on in 1974 on NBC. He later did the syndicated version in the 80s. But Jeff Edwards' first game show, actually started in March of 1973, the year before, on CBS. It was called Hollywood's Talking. It was put together by Jack Barry of Barry and Enright, who the decade earlier had done a show called Everybody's Talking. It ran for a year on ABC. It was on at noon, hosted by Lloyd Saxon, the popular Los Angeles DJ and American bandstand type host. His bandstand type show was syndicated for a spell. He later on went to do another game show called Funny You Should Ask, not the Byron Allen version, but something similar. And later on, he became the executive producer of Fight Back, the David Horowitz consumer show that was syndicated. No, David Horowitz, the great NBC LA correspondent, who's always say, fight back and don't let anybody rip you off. So anyway, Hollywood Talking was the answer as Jeff Edwards' first game show. So now, here's our new question. We have three prizes in play. Held over from last week, the Nailed It cookbook from the Netflix series. We have the 20th anniversary Blues notepad from Nickelodeon. And now, we've got the BYU special, 20 Years of Christmas with the Tabernacle Choir, with additional material that's a special that was on the holidays on PBS as well. So all three prizes are yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the 1960s ABC anthology series hosted by Fred Astaire. Name the 1960s ABC anthology series, won several Emmy Awards, ran two seasons on ABC, hosted by Fred Astaire. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Enclose your name and your mailing address. If you've already won before, you're not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWT. Once again, the question, name the 1960s ABC anthology series hosted by Fred Astaire. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Get your entry in today, and you could be, maybe by Wednesday, our next Classic Trivia winner. Do so, and all the very best. Thanks to both our dynamic duos being with us on this Tomorrow Be Televised Monday episode. Thank all of you for tuning in. We are back on Wednesday when, among our guests, we will have the Chief Operating Officer of the Africa Channel, Narendra Reddy. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, we're available on podcasts, on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, on the iRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, we do smart TV sets, Verbal and Reason. And remember, we'd love to hear from you. What's your thoughts about today's program? What you're thinking about American Song Contest, Tall Boys, and where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. We do respond however you communicate with us within 24 hours. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other services of this program. Website service provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. If you want to listen to the good stuff, go to audibletrial.com/televise. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. We're back less than 24 hours from now, 48 hours from now, I should say. Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Remember, whatever you're doing between now and then, make it safe and great. If you haven't been vaccinated, check with your doctor, check your medical records, find out all the antiviral treatments that are now available to you, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well, stay tuned, and even though we got shellacked on Saturday in Michigan, go Eagles! Congratulations on the great season you had and on the game you had on Saturday on ESPN2. And you'll be back next year, goodness willing. Again, until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. And always, go Eagles!